Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media site that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
And now I get to introduce our speaker and scripture reader today. And so Rodney got to speak last week. He's our kids pastor. And so he did a great job of just teaching us that hearing from God is a daily thing. It's not just a once in a lifetime thing, but we listen to God and we hear from God every single day. And then we have our scripture reader, Janelle. She is amazing. She is one of our deacons and she serves with the preschoolers every single Sunday. Every single Sunday, it's amazing. I love her for it because I don't have to be in there. But if I had to, I would. So we thank you, Janelle, and if y'all would please stand for the scripture.
Acts 2, 17 through 21. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding us and thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us spiritual nourishment and quenching that thirst that we have in our souls. And thank you for refreshing us if we just seek your face. Thank you. Lord Jesus, be with Rodney as he gives us the message and gives us the word. And Lord, I pray for our congregation that we can soften our hearts and become fertile ground to be able to absorb the spiritual nourishment that you're about to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh.
I don't need that. Thank you, Janelle. All right. Well, give a little thing. Something else that is going on this week is we have youth just came back from camp. We are going to little kids camp it's ages 5, 6, 7. There's only 4 of us going, but Miss Amber, stand up for a second. I know she's so excited we want y'all to pray for us. So we have some a slip with one child's name, a child, 2 children that are going, and leader, Miss Amber and myself. So we want you to pray for us. So if you want to take one of these at the end of the service, appreciate it. Amber, thank you. You can sit down now. Thank you. But we're excited. She's taking a week's vacation to not have vacation. Little kids camp actually is the easiest camp because it's the camp that the kids get tired and they go to sleep at night. Yeah. Yes, little kid. No, I didn't say youth camp. I said little kid. we wear them out. They will be sleeping good. We're excited about that. Another thing for VBS that just to share, very excited about what's doing. And this year's VBS, there's a change. We're actually going to have the kids perform on Sunday morning of August the 3rd, the song that they've been learning. And the reason, and here's the key. I don't know about you. How many of you have ever been invited to a child's recital when they get up and perform? You've invited. And how important it is that do we show up? Yes. to support the kids. It's like really, really important. The other part is we want parents to feel welcome on that day that do not come. And right now we're about 50% of our volunteers that have signed, or 50% of our children that have signed up to be at VBS do not go to this church. So far. And so therefore, it is critical for y'all to show up on Sunday of that Sunday to not think of, oh, it's the kids' performance day. We don't want to show up. No. We need you to show up to love on those parents and to care for those parents. So we've made some adjustments and changes. We're even going to have the parents come in to drop off their kids to meet the leaders. So it's a very unique, different setting that we're doing, but we're doing it for the purpose to reach families for Christ. Okay, that's the purpose for VBS. And I even told Karen and Neil at the first of the year when we talked, and they said, well, yeah, you're going to do VBS. And I was like, VBS. And I was like, okay, but what's our purpose? And when we know that our purpose is to reach families, so we're excited about that. All right, last week we talked about hearing God's voice, and we talked about it being daily. And I want to go back and revisit that real quick, and I'm going to throw up a picture that we had last week. I threw him off guard, and he's like, what? Where are you going? So there's a picture that we had last week, and I want to start off with this picture of sheep on a hillside. So Sammy, you got there? There it is, okay. So there's these sheep on a hillside, and it looks like they're eating rocks. And so if you look at those sheep, this is the normal, this is actually what is called green pastures in Israel, because they don't have a lot of farmland like Texas. So therefore, if you want to feed your sheep, this is what you're left with. But there is grass there, it's just hidden. But the shepherds have to lead and take out their sheep, because do you think the sheep being out here are very safe? They're not safe without a shepherd. They're not safe without someone guarding them. And as they lead them, these trails, they believe were at the time of Abraham that these trails are. And they walk on that trail. And then just on the north and the south, the sheep get to eat a little bit. How do they follow the shepherd? The shepherd walks in front, and he does his call to his sheep. So here's the grass. If you notice the grass, it's not a lot, but they need it to be about 8 inches tall, and the sheep will go and they will eat that down to mow it down to about 2 inches tall. Once they eat it, they don't want them to stay in the same spot, because if they stay in the same spot, they will eat the grass all the way down to the root, and there will be no more grass in a week. So therefore, they want to keep the sheep moving, and they want to keep them going, but they always have to be guided by a shepherd. In most cases, they will actually have two shepherds. They will have one who's leading, and he's the one who knows where they need to go. And then they'll have one behind, and he's sitting there looking for the ones that are, you know, lost, or, you know, just get off track and start, you know, oh, I like the grass over here. I'm going to go over. I get back over here. Okay. So that is how that works. And the reason I wanted you to see that and understand that is because that's a very different view of the green pasture. And it's very, very critical that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. For their safety, for their situation, they need that. Well, as you see that, here's what I want to look at, something a little different today about that, is because not only do the sheep hear the voice of the master, and when it says they know him, he knows him and he calls him by name. This knowing him is an intimacy. He knows his sheep, meaning he knows the sheep that's lazy. He also knows the sheep that's hard-headed. He knows the sheep that's always falling behind. Come on, come on, get. He knows the sheep that's a procrastinator. He knows the sheep that's always up in front and trying to get ahead. Every sheep, he knows their literal increase, the little he knows them, and because he knows them, he can tell, okay, this is the one we got to watch today. This is the one we got to keep nudging. This is the one we got to work with a little more. Oh, this is the one we got to keep from going ahead. He also knows the characteristics about their flaws. He knows everything about them. I have a friend of mine that has goats, and she could tell me every name of every goat. I have another friend that has cats, and they lost one in the attic, and I went, you got 10. How do you know? Really? I was out there working on their house, and we had the attics open, putting a new air conditioning for them when I was doing that kind of work, and all of a sudden they call me up, and they, do you know where my cat is? You got 10. How do you even know how many? Like, do you even know? And sure enough, they did. It was in the attic, and they had to put some, you know, tuna up there, and it came. It was very happy because it got free tuna for getting in the attic. But the reality is the other side of this, though, is the sheep know the idiosyncrasies of the shepherd. If they pay attention. The sheep that were with David when he saved them, because there was one was saved by a lion. I mean, you imagine mouth of a lion all over you, you're getting ready to die, and David comes along and saves you. Do you think that sheep knew David? He knew David as his rescuer. And all of a sudden, he's got marks. He's got scars. He may even have part of his tendon where he hobbles now because he got that, you know, that hurt from that bear or that lion. But guess what? He's always going, oh, yeah, but I'm staying real close to the shepherd because I don't want that to happen again. I'm going to stop lagging behind. I'm going to be up there. See, even the sheep know the shepherd if they want to. They have to choose. I had a dog, Buddy. We did everything for Buddy. We loved Buddy. We got him off the side. He was found on the side of the road. Somebody loved him, and I don't think they left him. He was just lost, and he was a little bitty puppy because he had the marks where they had already, you know, done the surgery for him to keep him not having a bunch of babies. And the neutering, whichever one that is, spading. It was a boy, so, okay. And so we got Buddy, picked him up. We tried to find his home. Nobody claimed him. We took him home, and we provided for him everything he needed. But Buddy decided he didn't like staying inside of our fence. And so he would chew the fence to get out. Chew it every day. There was a new section. Buddy eventually died, early death, because he wouldn't stay under the protection of the backyard. And we provided, I played with him. I did all the things I was supposed to do. But every day he would go chew a different section of fence. And he'd walk around. He could run around. He ended up getting in Fort Worth Doggy Jail. Fort Worth Doggy Jail, I guess, has a whole lot of dogs. It has a whole lot of diseases. And he died of a disease from being in the doggy jail for one night, because he didn't want to stay in the protection of us, what we provided for him. God wants both sides in that relationship. It's a two-sided relationship. He says, I want to know you, and I already know you, and I know all your failings and all your faults and all the stuff about you that's not good, but I also love you anyway. I love you. But then he says, but I invite you to know me. How does he invite us? He invites us right here through his word. If we want to get to know our Father, there's four main ways. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God. Or this one, the voice. I love the voice. I'm going to read it from there. I'm going to turn around and read it. All of scripture is God. Say that with me. All scripture is God. In its inspired voice. Ooh, this is a good translation. In its inspired voice, we hear useful teaching, rebuke, correction, instruction, and training for a life that is right. You could reread this and say this. In its inspired voice, we hear useful teaching. In its inspired voice, we hear useful rebuke. In its inspired voice, we hear useful correction. In its inspired voice, we hear useful instruction. In its inspired voice, in this inspired voice that God gave us, we hear useful training for a life that is right. God says right here, I gave you what you need to know me. Now the second, that's going out and getting the bread. That's the daily bread. That's going out and the shepherd taking us on a daily walk and taking and getting us some bread, getting in here. But then the second part, you know, a sheep, they have four stomachs. They're ruminant animals. And what do? They all day long, they're, I actually woke up that to one of my dogs this morning on the floor. But they don't throw up. They actually chew the cud. And they chew it all day long, four different times. What does that mean for us, and how does that relate to us? What does Psalms 1 say? What we're supposed to do with the Word of God? Are we supposed to just take the Word of God and read one scripture and go on? No. Here it goes. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They will be like a tree planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves will never wither, and they will prosper in all they do. God wants us to be like that sheep and meditate. Think about it. You eat how many times a day usually? 3, 4. Okay, some of y'all 6. Oh, I'm sorry. But if you just think of this. If every time you got a snack, you went back to the scripture from that morning and you took one passage and you snacked on it. That's meditating. It means you take that one seed, that one thing, because see, that's how you get to know the master. You don't know him by just reading the scripture and blowing through it. You know him by getting in the word and you meditate on it. And you read a scripture. Because see, when Sharon and I, when we were going through worry, I remember a season, it was 2008, and the market was crashing. And every single house in our neighborhood, well, every other house in our neighborhood, every other house was a foreclosure sign. And I wasn't making a lot of money doing what I was doing at the time. And I was, I mean, we were not hardly making our mortgage. And it was tough. And I would drive by, and as I saw all the signs, what do you think happened in my brain? Fear. Fear. Every time, because I kept seeing, there's another foreclosure. There's another foreclosure. And my brain was going, fear, fear, fear. What did I have to do to combat it? I had to look at the Word of God, and I had to look at Matthew 6. And Matthew 6 says, he cares for sparrows. And they die all the time. And he cares for the lilies of the field. Really? I don't even pay attention except bluebonnet season. When's the last time you just really drove by a field and you stopped and went, wow, God painted that field really well. We don't, but yet God does. And God says, then I care for you more. Well, guess what I had to do? I had to meditate to know his character. Of course, then the last one that helps is great is I got to experience it. See, I got to experience the God who provides. When we were living in Arlington, I was children's pastor. God had absolutely 100% directed us to be in Arlington. But I knew when I went to the job, and he even told me, the pastor said, this is basically like a missionary. Okay, going to be a missionary. You're going to have to raise part of your support to make it. Because this is your salary. And it was like, okay. Are you still going to come? Yeah, because God directed us and told us to be there. And so we get there, God directed a house for us to buy, and it was going to be right at about $1,100 a month. I think it was about $1,000 with taxes and all. And it was a cute little house. It was in Arlington. We got it. We have it. Everything's good. I actually got the house on the old salary that was a lot bigger, you know. But then when I got the house right then we changed jobs, and now I have a half of a salary of what I had, but my mortgage was up $400. That's not, Dave Ramsey says, don't do that. He's like, how dare you? That's wrong. But yet God was directing us, and we put just a little thing out. People went, oh, you're going there? Oh, you're going there? It's inner city Arlington. I said, yeah. And people just started saying, hey, I'll support you. I'll help you. First year, we had people that gave... one man, Sharon's parents, they gave us $300 a month. And then we had this other family, $100 a month. And it was like, okay, there's $400. And then we would get $125 and $50 and $130. And I mean, by the time, every time it was $1,000. Every time God supplied. For a whole year, we just saw this faithfulness of God. And at the end of the first year, almost everybody dropped off. And without saying a word, we're like, okay. But then Sharon's parents went from 300 to 600. We never said a word to them. We never told them anything. Who told them? God. And then the family that was 100 a month went to 300 a month. I remember going back and asking Gloria, I said, why did y'all do that? She said, oh, God told us. It was like, oh, it's no big deal. God told us. And I'm thinking, $300 a month's a lot of money to me, you know? But it was like $900. And then we would have this little bitty missionette group in Flower Mound of girls that would end up bringing money, and they would send it to us. It'd be $25 a month. Missionette girls. I have to be supported by missionette, you know, girls in a church. That's just, God did amazing things. And for that next year, 3 years that we were there, we saw every single month God supply for our needs. I knew God intimately, and I knew him intimately as the God who provides. I experienced it. I knew him from the Word of God, but now I've experienced it. As I told you earlier about the sheep, think about those sheep. The sheep that were following David knew David's voice. But in the scripture passage, 1 Samuel 17, it says this. But David persists, he's talking to the king. Hey, king, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And he said, and when the lion and the bear comes to steal the lamb from a flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this both to a lions and bears, and I will do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And then this verse right here, I love this. the Lord who rescued from the claws of the lion and the bear. He said, God, I've experienced God who rescued me from a lion and a bear. Oh, he will rescue me from the Philistine. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I've experienced it personally. Now I know, let's go defeat a lion. I want us to watch a video. This is one of our members. He's not here this service. Mr. Lee. He's deaf. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful video. This one's about 3 minutes long, but it's him talking about hearing the voice of God. And we will this week then put up the longer version. It's probably about 9 minutes that tells even more because his story is so beautiful. So let's watch this portion.
You know, in visions, I see when God speaks to me, he's signing. There was a time when I was in the hospital, and I know I heard God speak my name. And I was confused. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know if I was having problems with the medicine. I had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I had gone through the hospital, but it was truly a mystery to the doctors. They did exams, they did testing, but they couldn't find an answer. I was suffering from blackouts. And this was in Pennsylvania. But I went through many different hospitals, and no one could give me an exact answer. But I met a nurse, a Jewish, and she found the right combination of medicines to help balance me out. And she kept encouraging me to continue to have faith. But that nurse, she was able to help so many different ways. And she encouraged me to go to Christian counseling. But what happened is that they provided an interpreter, one-on-one. We could openly talk about God and our beliefs, about Jesus. And they also shared with me that they have heard from God too. What a way. It was just, what a relief to be able to talk openly about that. The Lord called me to go into missions, but to Puerto Rico. And I knew I have a cousin who lives there, so I could easily go stay with my cousin. But I was able to meet deaf Christians, deaf missionaries, join them in that process, join them in that. And I know that some people wonder, why would God choose me to go and be involved in missions in Puerto Rico? And honestly, I don't know how to answer that. I'm clueless too. Here I am in America, but yet he called me to go to Puerto Rico.
All right. So, he was sitting here over here this morning and as part of our deaf ministry. And you know, that dream yet, that God, the calling hasn't happened yet, has it? No, he's still here, but yet there is a calling and he's heard God. It's just a beautiful story. So the other one, on this video, we never got about him being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he actually has a story about him being baptized in the Holy Spirit. As you're talking to Lori through interpreter about it, it's good. All right, well, we're going to go, but the other side, why does God speak to us? He speaks to us for us in that personal relationship. But the second side of that is to win others. And our scripture verse that we had today was the prophecy of Acts 2. And in Acts 2, you see it says, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So then he says, and how am I going to speak through them? Through prophecy. they will prophesy. They will see visions. They'll dream dreams. Those days I'll pour out my spirit on the servants. They will prophesy. He says prophesy twice. Then he says, and I will cause wonders in the heaven above and the signs on the earth below. He's saying, I'm going to do such crazy things. I'm going to do so many crazy miracles. I'm going to do things that people can only say it is God. They can only go, whoa, that must be God. And then at the end, of course, the real purpose, verse 21, is, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The purpose is for others to know him. The purpose of that prophecy and the purpose of their gifts, even the purpose of the Holy Spirit working through you, is all about others being ministered to because you listen and obey God. We see an example of Paul. Because you look all through Acts and you'll see visions, visions, visions. You'll see some visits from some angels. So you'll see some visits from angels, which I believe he still will use. But you really see visions, 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 and then God using that vision to reach a group of people. But in the prophecy in Acts 27, you see it a lineup that I think is pretty interesting. In Acts 27, Paul is being sent to prison, and he's going to Rome. And when they get on the boat, there's 276 people on the boat. There's sailors, and we know they live godly. And then there's soldiers, and we know they love people and love to treat people really nice, especially Roman soldiers, okay? And then there's prisoners. There really should be prisoners because they're murderers or, you know, thieves or something like they're going to hang, okay? Therefore, you've got a really, really good group of people that you're traveling with on a boat, and it's Paul. And as he's going, he gives a prophecy to them. Men, verse 10, men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead of you if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger for the lives as well. And everybody goes, yeah, whatever. Who are you, Paul? Nah. And they just don't even care what he has to say. There's no influence. He has no influence. He's like a little ant to them. Well, they go on, and sure enough, as they go for a couple of days and they get, everything's good. Paul's wrong. We got it right. Oh, yeah, we're sailing. And what's that? What's that storm coming over there? What's going on? And they go through days and days and days at sea, and they are all thinking they're going to lose their life. And all of a sudden, they're going, that Paul guy really had it right. Wow, he's pretty smart. Maybe, oh, he listens to the Messiah. And so then, God comes to Paul again in Acts 27, 21 through 26. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together. Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God, whom I belong, whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial in Caesar. And what's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with me, sailing with you. So take courage. Ship's going to be gone. We're going to land on an island. And all of a sudden, everybody went, okay, Paul, we believe you. You're going to direct connection, and we're going to trust what you have to say. Paul's influence through prophecy went from this to this because he was willing to trust what God put in his heart and to speak it and say it. And his influence now was going to save everyone's life, 276 people. They're going to see a miracle from God because these guys don't love God or like God or don't serve him. And all of a sudden, he's going to see a miracle. Well, sure enough, Ship breaks up. They all get on shore finally on the island of Malta. Everyone was saved. So all these ruthless, horrible people are saved. And then the miracle happens. In Acts 28, they're all on shore. The people of Malta have come out to help them, maybe give them blankets, you know, give them a little Gatorade, first aid kits, you know. But they've come out to help them and support them, and they need to start a bonfire because everybody's soaking wet. And as they start the bonfire, Paul is a true servant because guess what he's doing? He's picking up wood. He's not sitting in the back going, hey, guys, I'm the big guy. God talks to me. Y'all go do it. No, he gets in there and serves, and he's picking up wood. He's throwing it on the fire. When he throws it on the fire, boom, a snake comes out. That is a very, very deadly poisonous snake on that island. Everybody on that island knows about it, and it bites him on the hand. It's hanging on. He has to shake it off. So everybody knows Paul got karma. That's exactly what they say. Look at this. It says, the people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, oh, he's a murderer, no doubt. What are they saying? Karma! He's the bad guy. And then he doesn't die. And they're all looking going, you're supposed to die. You're supposed to die. He doesn't die. And then they're like, oh, he's a god. He goes from being a murderer to a god in about 30 minutes. Isn't that amazing? How miracles will influence people differently. And then when they're like, oh, we think you're a god. He's like, no, I'm not a god. I just serve God. Then they have him go pray for the governor's dad, who is deathly sick, and he gets healed. Then everybody lines up for healing. Okay, I want to get healed. I want to get healed. He was on the island for 3 months. On the island for 3 months, how much influence did God give him? Started with a prophecy. Then a word from God that he came and visited him, an angel of the Lord visited him, and he said what the angel said, and then a miracle. 3 different things that you see, and they influenced him to be the one everybody listened to. The reason God wants to do, he first has to start with us for us to know who he is in his character. And when we know who he is in his character, that we know he is the God who provided for me, he is the God who healed me, then there's a certain point it transfers. Now I'm going to give you a word for the community. I'm going to give you a word for somebody else, and it will come true because you learned how to trust me in private. In private. It starts with the private. I'm going to end with this. Sometimes when God tells you to do stuff, it's hard. And your mind fights with it. The Bible scripture, 1 James 1, 5, 6, 7, talks about being double-minded. It means God told you to do something, and you just look at God and you go, okay, yeah, yeah. You're crazy. Really? No. And you don't do it because you doubt God's in that one. For me, it happened. We had moved to Arlington, and I had been a children's pastor in Grapevine for 10 years. I'd seen God do miracle after miracle. I had major influence with the school district, lots of other things. It was a wonderful thing. And then I moved to Arlington. And when I moved to Arlington, I'm in a church of about 20 kids. It's a Hispanic church. We were an English Hispanic church, so we would have an English service and a Spanish service, and we were at church all day long. And I didn't know Spanish, so that made not a lot of sense, me being there. But I knew, I knew we were supposed to be there. One day as I'm driving, I see this building that's this 3-story structure that's going up, and it's just half a block away, and I see it, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. And I remember very distinctly it had the roof on. They just put the roof on. And I drive up to the stop sign, and I'm at the stop sign. And as I'm at the stop sign, I had a vision of that building. I was like, oh, this was weird. And then I saw it go up in flames. Fire, whole building. And I'm like, whoo, okay. And then the prompting in my heart that God said, go pray for it not to burn. Huh? Who? What? Me? Look, God, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. I'm just a little, I'm a nothing in Arlington. Nobody. I even gave up my Assembly of God license. I don't even have an official license with Assembly of God anymore. Like, who am I? Why me? Do you know how many pastors there are in Arlington you could pick, God? And I, every excuse in the book to not go pray for that building, because as far as I was concerned, that was just crazy. That was like on a Tuesday, early in the week. On Saturday night, the news is on, and you know how they always give that flash of, da da da, in this town, you know, big wreck on the highway in this town, and then they go to commercial. And it's trying to pull you in. I was in the next room, and I remember very distinctly I was in the next room, but the TV was on, and it said, fire in Arlington. And I knew Collins Street. Like, I knew the street, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Chills. Chills went over me because I knew it was that building. And I ran, watched the news, and it was that building. That building that's three stories, all looked like it was going to be finished in, you know, a couple of months, or, well, the outside at least, was destroyed, gone. And now I felt like an imp. I felt like a fool. I'm like, wow, okay. Well, a couple months later, they go and they build a building again. It's like, okay. And I saw it. And I saw it going up, and I saw it get to about the same place when I saw it. Sometimes I just avoid driving that way. And I never had a prompting from God to go pray for it. But I would sort of think about it, just go, that was sort of weird, God. And it went up in flames again. Totally torched, totally burned to the ground. And at that point, I went, okay, God, there's something spiritual going on here. See, you told me something for a spiritual reason. I'm looking at the physical. There's something spiritual. There's something going on that this building's not supposed to be built, or somebody, the demonic, doesn't want it built. Satan doesn't want it built. But God wants it built. And you told me something so I would react and respond to you. And I repented before God. I said, God, it doesn't matter. If they start building that building again, I will go pray. I don't care how foolish I look. I'm so sorry. And I apologize before God. And then they come in and they take bulldozers over the land and they take everything out, cement and everything. And I'm like, oh good, I'm done. I don't have to do it. I'm out. Whew. And then they put in cement forms. What does that mean, Mitch? It's going up. Yeah. Yeah. They put in cement forms, and that meant it was going to go up. And immediately, the day I saw the forms going up, I drove over, because this time, I want to be obedient. And I drove over, and I looked, and there was a sign and a telephone number of this group, and it said Covenant Group. Maybe Christians. And so I called them on the phone. This is when cell phones, every minute counted. So you're like, hope this is a short conversation. And I remember calling them on the phone, and they got me straight to the past the CEO. And I wasn't expecting that. And I said, hey, and I told them the story where God had given me a vision of it burning down. And I apologized to him. And he said, it's okay, you know. But he said, yes, I will accept your prayer. And so we set up a date in Arlington one of the coldest days of the year, February someday, and we had a group of about five men and my whole family, and we went out and we prayed for every corner of that building, of the property, that it would be safe. We had some visions that God gave some of the other people in our group and some words. And at the end, that building went up successfully. What that building was that I didn't know, it was a retirement center that was going to have a church in it, that was going to be a church where they preached the gospel in that church. It was a Christian group that put it together for that. Satan didn't want it up. God did. And he just wanted to use little old me, little old children's pastor, nobody me, to somehow help to stop the demonic that was going on. God wants to use you. He starts with the personal, and then it transfers to help change the world. If you need prayer, you can come up at any point. God wants to, wherever you are in your journey with God, God wants to work with you. God wants to help you. God wants to speak to you. And he wants that open communication with you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is real and true and living. Help us to breathe it in every day. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to experience you in a new way so that we can reach our world, this world, for you. So we can reach our neighbors for you.